But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I have warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And then our text this afternoon. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone, and not in his neighbour. For each will have to bear his own load. And continuing down to verse 10, let the one who has taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So far, God's word. Can I encourage you to keep your Bibles open or your phones open with the Bible open there before you as we consider these words this evening. But first of all, let's pray together. Father, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We pray that your word will show a light on our hearts, on the paths that you call us in our lives, especially as this afternoon we consider how we are to bear one another's burdens. Lord, this message this afternoon is a challenging one that examines our hearts. Help us to be open to that examination, open to think about areas that an area in which we can grow as a church family, as we can grow individually. Speak to us, Lord, through your word. We pray this together as God's people, together even though we are apart. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Well, there's a fable told about a man who fell into a hole. And he's stuck there down deep in this hole and he can't get himself out. As he's stuck in this hole, he sees a doctor walk by. And he calls out to the doctor. He says, hey doc, can you help me out of this hole? The doctor takes his prescription pad, writes a prescription, and throws the prescription down the hole, and then he keeps on walking. And then a priest comes along, and the man in the hole cries out, Father, can you help me? And the priest writes a prayer down on a piece of paper, throws the prayer down the hole, and keeps on walking. And then this person's friend comes walking by the hole and sees his friend in the hole, and the person calls out, hey Joe, can you help me out of this hole? And so Joel jumps into the hole with his friend. And this person stuck in the hole says, Joe, are you stupid? Now we're both stuck in this hole. And Joe answers his friend and says, yes, I know that. But I've been down here in this hole before and I know the way out. Which person are you in this story? Are you the friend down in the hole trying to help someone out? Are you stuck in the hole yourself? Or are you the doctor or the priest? I could tell from a mile away that this person was going to get in trouble. Anyone with half a brain could see that this was not going to go well. I tried to tell them, but they didn't listen to me. They got themselves into this mess. Now they can get themselves out. Which person are you in the story? How do you see your brothers and sisters? They made their bed. They've got to lie in it. Now, we wouldn't dare say this out loud, or we may say this out loud to some of our other friends. Paul is talking here in our passage this evening about living by the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit, walking with the Spirit. He just listed the fruits of the Spirit, and as I got in from preaching last Sunday morning, my girls pointed out to me that I'd missed one of the fruits of the Spirit. So we're going to try again this afternoon, boys and girls, and I've got the passage before me so that I know I'm not going to get it wrong. But let's say the fruits of the Spirit together. Galatians 5 verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I think I got those all this time. But what does it look in real life to put these fruits, or the fruit of the Spirit, into practice? And Paul gives a concrete example of what that looks like. As he talks about a brother, or as it can be translated in Galatians 6 verse 1, a brother or a sister. Note what it says there in chapter 6 verse 1, brothers and sisters, if anyone is caught in any transgression. Paul doesn't have a specific example in mind. We're not told about a certain sin. We're not told about a certain rankings of sin. If someone sins in such a way that's bad enough, you need to get involved. If someone meets a certain crosses a certain threshold, then you need to restore them. No, he doesn't say that. It doesn't actually matter what the sin is. The question is, how do you deal with someone who is struggling with a particular sin? Or how do you deal with someone who's not struggling with a particular sin? Do you judge them? Do you ostracize them? Do you look down in the hole and see them stuck there and just walk on by? That's what the Galatians were doing. They were standing at the top of the hole and looking in. That's what verse 26 talks about. That's what Paul is warning them against. Let us not become conceited, chapter 5, verse 26, provoking one another, envying one another. They were looking down their noses at this brother or sister. They were saying things that weren't helpful. As we heard this morning, they weren't being kind. They were envying one another. Now, envying here can have two ideas. In one way, as we look at our brothers and sisters, we can envy how well they're doing. It can seem like life is going so well for them. And then when something happens, when they face a struggle, when they face a trial, when they fall into sin or do something wrong, we're secretly happy that they got what they deserved. That's one side of envy, looking at them and saying, oh, I wish I was having a good life like them. Hoping almost that life doesn't go so well for them. And then there's the flip side of envy. Being caught in sin, being struggling with a certain sin, struggling with a certain way of that you're doing things, and looking at someone else and thinking, they've got it all together, I want to be like them. How do we fight these sort of attitudes? How do we live or keep in step with the Spirit? How do we bear one another's burdens? Because that is our theme this afternoon. Our theme is we are to bear one another's burdens. And from the outset, we need to see that this word, that these words here, bear one another's burdens, are quite strong words. When we're called, and when Paul calls the Galatians, and the Holy Spirit calls us through Paul to bear one another's burdens, it's not simply meaning that we need to tolerate each other. That we need to put up with each other. Oh, well, that's just the way so-and-so is. Now, the idea here of bearing one another's burdens takes us back to the story we started with. Jumping in the hole, down into the hole with a brother or sister. Walking side by side with them. Helping them in their struggles, caring for them in their struggles. And to help us do this, to help us have the right attitude, and to not judge them, to not ignore them, to not ostracize them, to not gossip about them behind their backs, Paul gives three ideas, three commands in our passage this afternoon. Three points that we have as we look at bearing one another's burdens. And the first point this afternoon is remember Christ. Remember Christ. If anyone is caught in any transgression, Galatians 6 verse 1, Paul says, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Now, Paul is actually having a bit of a dig here at the heretics in the book of, that the book of Galatians is written about and against. It seems that one of the heresies that the Galatian church was facing is that people came into the church and they told people that they were more spiritual than others. They were more spiritual, closer to God. But Paul says, you are all spiritual. Verse 26, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. You all have the Holy Spirit. You're all led by the Holy Spirit. So you are all called to help out your brother or sister. If you see a brother or sister struggling or not struggling, you are called to help them out. That's the first point of application that we have here as we see remembering Christ, bearing one another's burdens. But I might say the wrong thing. I don't really want to get involved. It's their problem, not mine, and I've got enough problems of my own at the moment. I'm sure someone else can help this brother or sister. And Paul says, no excuses. If you are spiritual, and you all are spiritual, you should be involved in restoring them. Restoring their brother or sister with or in a spirit of gentleness. Gently, Paul says. And how does he help the Galatians? How are we helped to be gentle to our brother and sister? Paul says, remember Christ. Remember Christ. Bear one another's burdens. Verse 2, our theme, our main idea of our passage. Bear one another's burdens, he says, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? How would you understand the law of Christ? Well, we get our understanding of what that is in a few verses earlier than we read this afternoon. If you have your Bibles open, Galatians 5, verse 13. In Galatians 5, verse 13, we read this: "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is served, the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." What's the law of Christ? Love your neighbor as yourself. Now we see that most powerfully in Christ's sacrifice for his neighbors, as he laid down his life for his brothers and sisters. He loved his brothers and sisters so much, brothers and sisters throughout all of history past, all of history to come, that he went to the cross for them. That's the ultimate example of the law of Christ, the ultimate example of loving one another. But we also see the law of Christ, the way he loved one another, and the way that he dealt with people. When people were struggling, when people were down and out, he was generally gentle with them. Now, he wasn't gentle with the Jewish leaders. He gave it to them with both barrels. But generally, he was gentle. Think of the woman at the well in Samaria. Think of Zacchaeus. Think of the Apostle Peter. Yes, he told Peter off, but how gently and carefully he restored Peter on the foreshore of the Sea of Galilee. Think of the Apostle Paul. When you're dealing with a brother and sister, when you see a brother and sister struggling, remember Christ. What does that mean practically? Well, first of all, what doesn't it mean? It certainly doesn't mean remembering Christ, bearing one another's burdens, does not mean telling someone, "I told you so." It does not mean ignoring them. It does not mean withdrawing from them, and it certainly doesn't mean gossiping about them behind their back. But it does mean being very gentle, being very careful as you talk with them, remembering first of all, you are a sinner also, and Christ has died for you. And Christ is patient and gentle with you, isn't he? It means seeking out a brother and sister and treating them as you would want to be treated. It means when they're struggling, when they're down and out, you don't kick them when they're down. But it does mean getting down there with them, acknowledging their struggles, acknowledging their trials, acknowledging the fight that they're in. And it does mean being prepared to get stuck in with them, putting your arm around their shoulder, figuratively or literally, promising to help and walk with them through that path, not just telling them this is where you're sinning, but also helping them through. I'm here to walk this path with you. Loving your neighbor, remembering Christ, bearing one another's burdens also means keeping it as quiet as possible. Keeping it private. Think of Matthew 18. We don't have time this afternoon to unpack all of Matthew 18. But the approach there is do it one-to-one at first. Tell as few people as possible. But bearing one another's burdens, getting down there in that hole with them, does involve sacrifice. And it means even if you told them they were going to head down the wrong path and they didn't listen to you, even if they went their own way stubbornly, it still means getting down there with them. Because that's exactly the path that Jesus Christ took. He died for sinners who wanted nothing to do with him. Sinners who would reject him. Is it easy to walk that path with a brother or sister? No. It means being vulnerable yourself, and that's hard and difficult. It's not easy. And it's also so hard not to look at a brother or sister and to think, not say, or maybe even say, that you're better with them than them. It's a challenge to bear one another's burdens, to walk that path with them. And there are two ways that Paul puts us in our place. We're going to look at those two points, those two ways, and our final two points this afternoon. Our second point this afternoon is look at yourself. Look at yourself. It's hinted at in chapter 6, verse 1. Keep watch, he says, on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Now you could read here that second half of verse 1 is saying, keep watch on yourself so that you don't fall into the same sin as your brother or sister. Now that's a possible interpretation, that you don't do the same sin. But if we look at the bigger context, what Paul really has in mind here is your attitude towards your brother or sister. He's speaking here about judgmentalism. He's speaking of the sin of the Pharisee. We know the story of the Pharisee, don't we? The Pharisee and the tax collector. Luke chapter 17 it is. We won't read the whole story. You don't need to turn there. But if you're making notes, Luke chapter 17. And in Luke 17 verse 11. Oh, that's the wrong reference. I'm not going to try and find that right now. Wrong reference. And it's the story of Jesus and the tax collector. And there the tax collector is praying in the temple, and a Pharisee is standing next to him. And the Pharisee prays, Lord, I thank you that I am not a sinner like other men, that I am not a sinner like this tax collector. He thought he was so much better than the other person. And it's easy to do that. And here is the problem that we have as we deal with our brothers and sisters. The problem that we have is we compare ourselves to them. It's like running a running race. You're in a cross-country race running over rough terrain. And as you're running along, you're spending all your time looking at the people you're running the race with. Who's the fastest? Who's going to beat you? Who do I need to worry about? And as you're spending all your time looking at everyone else, wondering what they're doing, wondering how they're running, you end up yourself tripping into a hole, tripping over something and falling down and losing the race. Paul says, run your own race. Look at yourself in the mirror. Don't compare yourself to others. Be careful that you don't have too high an opinion of yourself. That's verse 3. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Don't compare yourself to others, Paul is saying. Verse 4 he says, but let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his name, in his neighbour. Test his own work. Now I'm going to give you a second at home in your bubbles to have a go at guessing what that test is. What do you think? talk to each other there for just a second. What do you think this test is that Paul is talking about here? A little clue. We've already come across it. The test for ourselves is there in verse 2, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We've already seen the answer. That is what we're to compare ourselves against, not against the sins of our brothers and sisters, not how much less we think we are sinning compared to them. And this is vital for you to see, because I think this is where we get it wrong so many times. How do we bear with each other's burdens? One of the ways we do that is not comparing ourselves to others. Instead, comparing ourselves to the law of Jesus Christ, to how much we love our neighbor. And that includes how much you're caring for a brother or sister that is in sin. Ask yourself, how are you showing love to your brothers and sisters? How do you compare to the second table of the law, loving your neighbor as yourself? If you're like me, you fall well short far too many times. And even if you are doing well, who gets the credit? Is it you for your hard work and good efforts? How wonderful you are at loving your neighbours? No, think back to the beginning of the text, to the beginning of our text this afternoon. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that works in us, allows us to do the good works prepared by God the Father for us beforehand. Paul says, look at yourself. Don't compare yourself to others. Judge yourself by God's law, not by how you see others' performance. Remember Christ, Paul has said. Look at yourself, he says. But there's a third and final point that Paul makes in our passage this afternoon. Verse 5, chapter 6, verse 5. For each will have to bear his own load. And that's our third and final point. Remember the coming judgment. Remember the coming judgment. Now, verse 5 really seems like a contradiction, doesn't it? For each will have to bear his own load. Well, what is it, Paul? You've said in verse 2, and you've made the point, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now here you say we're supposed to bear our own burden. Which is it? Well, the answer is both. We are called to carry each other's burdens, to join each other, to walk shoulder by shoulder, shoulder to shoulder with each other, helping each other, supporting each other, loving each other, caring for each other, celebrating the victories against sin that we have with each other, and weeping as we fall again with each other. But the point Paul is making here in verse 5 is that ultimately each one of us will be called to give an account for our own conduct, our own sins, on Judgment Day. It's Judgment Day that he has in mind here. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 14. Romans 14, starting at verse 10. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. And Paul's writing here to Christians. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Now I want to be clear here. Our sins are paid for in Jesus Christ. So there's not going to be a balance at the end of the day and said, have we done enough good compared to how bad we've done? No, all of our sins are paid in Jesus Christ. But Scripture does say, and Romans 14 does show us, that as we stand before God and Jesus as King on the Day of Judgment, each of us will be called to give an account for our own sin. When I was a physio, I treated a number of police officers. And one of the questions I would like to ask them from time to time was the best excuses that they had heard about speeding. You know, you get all sorts of excuses. I was late for an appointment. I wasn't watching the speedo. But the best excuse or the worst excuse was everyone else was going at this speed. Why didn't you catch them? Why did you pick on me? Everyone else was going that fast. I was just following the traffic officer. Well, brothers and sisters, friends, we won't be able to give that excuse before God. We won't be able to say, well, look at so-and-so's sin. Look how bad they've sinned. You should be talking to them. No, we will stand before God ourselves for our own sin, including our sins of not loving one another, of not bearing one another's burdens. But that's not the end of the story. Yes, we will be called to give an account, but we will also hear on that day God the Father saying, forgiven, justified, sins paid for. Do you have that hope? Bearing one another's burdens is not an easy thing. It's incredibly hard. It's a challenging thing to do. And part of the reason why we find it so hard is the judgmentalism that lives in our hearts. And that's what Paul is seeking to address here. Remember, you will be judged. Don't look at others. Look at yourself. Judge yourself in the light of God's word. And as you do that, as you put yourself in your own right place, as you remember the love of Jesus Christ, remember his sacrifice, remember how patient he is with you, then you will be able to bear with one another, carry one another, help one another lovingly as you fight sin together. That's a real challenge. And if I'm honest, if I look at my own heart, if I look at us as a church and the Reformed Church of Ringiora, we've got some room to go there, friends, brothers and sisters. We need to get down into that hole with each other. Now, does that mean that we go and point out each other's sins and this and this and that? No, hopefully you've seen not. But it does mean that we seek to walk the Christian walk with each other. That when appropriate, as privately as possible, we share our struggles with each other. Now, that doesn't mean that you need to stand on the front of the church and tell your sins to everyone in some sort of public confession. But it does mean you need to be open and honest with your struggles. It does mean that we need to be open and honest and understand when people come and challenge us. Brothers and sisters, are we prepared to get down into that hole with each other? Now, often I would finish here with a hymn. But today I want to finish with a contemporary song. Many of you will know the song, but I think it sums up so well what we're looking at this afternoon. It's a song written by the Hollies. The road is long, with many a winding turn that leads us to who knows where, who knows when. But I'm strong, strong enough to carry him. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. So on we go. His welfare is of my concern. No burden is he to bear. We'll get there. For I know he would not encumber me. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. If I'm laden at all, I'm laden with sadness that everyone's heart isn't filled with the gladness of love for one another. It's a long, long road from which there is no return. While we're on the way to there, why not share? And the load doesn't weigh me down at all. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. He's my sister. She's my sister. He's my brother. She's my sister. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. She's my sister. He ain't heavy. She ain't heavy. Amen. Please pray with me. Gracious God, we know these words. Many of us have heard these words time and time again. Bear one another's burdens. Sure. But the truth is, if we are honest, Heavenly Father, too often we are simply like that priest or that doctor who walk on by. Lord, what you are calling us to, what Paul calls the Galatians to and us to this afternoon, is incredibly difficult. Because we so often, so easily look down our noses and sit in judgment of one another. Hold up the mirror of your law to our faces this afternoon, we pray. Give us a heart for one another. Caring for one another. Lord, if we're caught in a sin, in a particular sin at the moment, help us to be open to people coming and talking to us. Help us to be open to going and talking. And yes, all of this involves a deeper relationship with each other. Lord, that is scary. That exposes us to risk, to vulnerability. Help us to be vulnerable through your Holy Spirit. Lord, we cannot do it on our own. So Spirit, help us this afternoon. Help us this week as we continue to try and walk by the Spirit, with the Spirit. Help us to truly bear one another's burdens. We pray this because of the name, because of Him who died for us, because of Him who continues to be gentle with us. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said together, Amen. Well, I hope and pray you have a wonderful week, folks. We continue to wait on our government and their recommendations, but continue and go in God's strength. Our blessing comes from, if you were able to listen to some of the songs after the service this morning, our blessing comes from one of those songs that's straight from Scripture, Numbers 6, verses 24 and following. Hear the blessing of God to you, His people, this evening. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. And all God's people said, Amen. Have a blessed week, folks. Matt is going to put on this on the PowerPoint shortly, and I'll put on some music. Feel free to leave as you wish. Have a blessed week.
His glorious throne beyond.